Well, we're going to talk some more about the fullness of faith. I hope that's okay. Okay, yeah. I don't know why, but he wants me to stay on it, so I'm going to stay on it. We know what it says in Mark 11:23. For verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be cast into the sea, and shall not doubt. Where? In his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. And what I want us to one of the things I want us to understand, and we probably touched on it last week. I haven't had an opportunity to listen to it, so I'm not quite sure. But we have to make sure that the time we spend is spent talking to the mountain, not talking about the mountain. What's hot on a lot of people's minds now is a classic example of it. Everybody's talking about the coronavirus. Who's speaking to the coronavirus, and who's speaking to it out of the fullness of their faith? We're believers. We're true believers. So we should be speaking to the virus, not about the virus. I mean, how can the thing's brand new and folks are concerned about its reputation? Doesn't really have a reputation. You know, people are afraid, and they're acting like they're afraid. I spoke with Deacon Phyllis a little while ago, and she was telling me the reports, the CDC is saying the best thing to do is frequently wash your hands with soap and water. People are flooding the stores buying hand sanitizer. Nobody's buying soap. And I'm not trivializing it, because, you know, the thief comes to, you know, with the purpose of stealing, killing, and destroying. But I'm focusing more on Jesus said, I've come so that you may have life and have it more abundantly. And we forget that the Bible tells us, for this purpose was the Son of Man made manifest, to destroy what? So if his purpose is to destroy the works of the devil, there has to be works to destroy. So the devil's, he's going to keep coming up with stuff, and we, speaking out of the fullness of our faith, are going to keep destroying it. I mean that. But I want us to understand there's a difference between speaking to your mountain and speaking about your mountain. Because when you start speaking about something, it becomes bigger and bigger in your estimation. The more you hear, that's why I can't sit down and keep listening to stuff. You know, no matter what it is, the news, they keep playing over and over and over and over. I'll go to Netflix and watch a dinosaur movie or something, you know. No, not Netflix, to Prime Video. I'm a Prime guy. And a mountain, just for clarity, a mountain is anything in your life that God didn't put there. Okay. That just sums it up. So I'll say a mountain is this, a mountain is that. If God didn't put it there, it's a mountain. If it's preventing you from doing what God told you to do, guess what? It's a mountain. And our responsibility is not to go to God and ask him to move it. Our responsibility is to speak to the mountain out of the fullness of our faith, and the mountain has to go. Period. It has to go. And people talk about mountains with such great detail. We tell God how big it is, how wide it is, how long it's been there. We even tell God how long we've been talking about it. God, we've been talking about this thing for 5 years. He's like, uh-huh. When are you going to stop talking to me and start talking to it? The same way you talk. We talk to God and we believe that he hears us. So why can't we speak to the mountain and believe that it hears us? And what happens is when you don't speak to the mountain out of the fullness of your faith, it doesn't, not only doesn't it go anywhere, but it starts to mock you. And then you really get frustrated. And those around you who you've talked about how great your God is start to wonder. And everybody's faith starts getting damaged. Because we're not doing what we're supposed to do, and we're not, and if we are doing it, we're not doing it the right way. There's a right way to speak to the mountain, and there's a wrong way to speak to the mountain. My nature is to do everything from a point of strength. I mean, that's the way it was growing up. And, you know, I'm like, you know, if you're big, flex your muscles. If you don't have any muscles, hang out with someone that does. But when I talked from a position of strength. I talked from a position of knowing who I was, knowing whose I was. Most of you have heard the story. I was Miss Ruby's son, and I made no bones about it. Who do you think you are? I'm Miss Ruby's son. I know that. I don't think that. Well, who's Miss Ruby? Keep messing with me, and you'll find out. And that's the same way we need to feel about, I'm a child of God. What does that mean? Keep messing with me, and you're about to find out. And find out in a hurry. Mark 11:24 says, therefore I say unto you that what things soever you desire when you pray, I say it this way, you believe that you receive them and you shall have them. So it's your responsibility to speak to the mountain. It's your, it's not, God's not going to say, stop bothering my son, get up, get away. You have to say, and you have to believe it while you're saying it. And your belief has to be full. There's no faith gauge for circumstances or for anything for that matter. You can't go face a situation and say, yeah, I guess 70% should do it. No, you have to use it all. Like I said it last week, and I always say it, shoot the mouse with an elephant gun. Why? You obliterate it. It won't bother you anymore. You know. But it's our responsibility. Prayer and fasting won't move mountains. Prayer and fasting won't move mountains. And people, there's a misconception about that, because with that one demon, Jesus said, this one comes out but by prayer and fasting. Well, if he was literally talking about prayer and fasting, how come he didn't pray and fast before he called it out? He was talking about a lifestyle. He was talking about being serious about your walk with Christ. He was talking about believing out of the fullness of your faith. That's what he was talking about. Putting all this other nonsense down and keeping your focus God-centered, then you'll speak and things will happen. But people will hear that and they tell me, well, I'm going to fast. Why? Well, I have this situation in my life I want to move. And what are you doing about it? I'm fasting. Bible doesn't say that. It says speak to it. That's what it says. But we take these things out of context. I like the Ben Campbell Johnson translation of Mark 11:23. And I know I've said it before, but it's truly anyone who speaks to that mountain yonder saying, dump yourself in the lake and does not become separated from the statement he makes, that person will actualize his statement. So that means not only do you have to speak to it, but you can't get all frustrated if it acts like it's not going to respond. Don't get upset. Most of the time, I have found, and the Bible has some accounts that bear it out, God's person will make a bold declaration and things appear to get worse. They appear to get worse. And they're not moved by it. Jesus told a demon, come out of him. Demon put on a show, thrashed the boy about, left him looking like he was dead. Didn't mean anything to Jesus. He said, come on, boy, get up, go home. Let's go. Didn't mean anything to him. Shadrach, Meshach, and my favorite guys, they made their big declaration of faith. They're like, we don't have to think about this. If you throw me in, our God will deliver us. But you know something, King? Even if he doesn't, we're still not bowing down. Amen. The 20th century believers will think the next verse will be, and the furnace just fell to pieces. But that's not what happened. What happened was the king had the furnace get even hotter. Get even, and that's what the enemy does. You're going to pray, and he's going to make it seem like it's gotten worse. You go and you pray, I believe your word, Lord. I believe I'm healed. You know, I rebuke these cold symptoms. And the doctor comes back and says, you have double pneumonia. You're like, I thought I was healed. As Pastor Clinton said, you need to be, you are healed. Just go with that. But we need to understand that. Because the devil does those things because he wants you to cave in. That's what he wants. Because if you cave in, guess what else caves in? Your faith. And you start to believe faith doesn't work all the time. And that's what he wants. Because now he's inserted doubt. And now because he's inserted doubt, when you speak, you're no longer speaking from the fullness of your faith. And the Bible says, in right at that place, Matthew 21, foundation scripture for this teaching. This is Matthew's account of Mark 11:23. Astonished, in the Passion, I like it in the Passion translation, astonished, his disciples ask, how did you make this fig tree instantly wither and die? Jesus replied, listen to the truth. If you have no doubt of God's power and speak out of faith's fullness, you can be the ones who speak to a tree and it will wither away. Even more than that, you could say to this mountain, be lifted up, and be thrown into the sea, and it will be done. Everything you pray for with the fullness of faith, you will receive. Now, a lot of things were said in that. One thing, even though it's a little ahead, I'm going to say it now. Jesus said, listen to the truth. If you have no doubt of God's power and speak. See, it's one thing you could say, oh, I know God can, but you're not saying anything. So if you have no doubt of God's power and you speak, and when you speak, you speak out of faith's fullness, you can be the ones who speak to a tree and it will wither away. So the fullness of faith will cause a tree to wither away. But it doesn't stop there. It says, even more than that, same faith, same fullness that caused the tree to wither. Even more than that, You can say to this mountain, be lifted up and thrown into the sea, and it will be done. Everything you pray for with the fullness of faith, you will receive. So stop thinking about how much faith you have and make sure that the faith you have is full. Because it said everything that you pray for with the fullness of faith. And the same faith that caused you to be able to cause a tree to wither can cause you to move a mountain. The same faith if you're operating in its fullness. And that's the key. We have to be operating in the fullness of our faith for it to work, whether it be a tree, a mountain, or a pebble. If you're not operating out of the fullness of your faith, nothing will change. Nothing will change. So we need to start taking our attention off of what we're going through and on what we have to deal with it. Because that's, I don't care what comes, if you know how to deal with it. That's why you see football players. This one guy, I forget his name. He's 5'6". Plays football. Running back. Runs through 280-pound linemen. 300-pound guys can't bring him down. Because he's not focusing on their size. He's focusing on what he has. He's focusing on what he's been trained to do. He's been trained to run through them, so guess what he does? He runs through them. Even though the statistics say he shouldn't be able to do it. But he does. Because he believed what he was taught. And he did it, or does it, exactly the way they taught him. He knows when to power up. He knows when to roll. He knows what to do. And he gets into the end zone. So Jesus was telling his disciples that if faithfulness lived in them, they could speak to the physical creation around them and it would have to respond. It would have to respond. But the key is not having any doubt in your heart. That's critical. The Bible doesn't quantify the amount of doubt it would take to short circuit your faith. It just tells you, don't doubt. So that lets me know any degree of doubt will short circuit your faith. Because they said, if you speak and shall not doubt. So if you have the slightest doubt, Phyllis Unger would say, if you had one iota of doubt, you will short circuit your faith. You'll short circuit it. And those who are watching you, their faith will be short circuited also. Because you have to understand, you know, to our children and to folks that haven't been in the Word as much as we have, we're the most spiritual persons they know. And if they see us falling to pieces and they believe, well, I don't know as much word as them and look what's happening to them. My God, what's going to happen to me? That's what I believe happened to Peter. Peter saw everything Jesus did. I don't believe Peter ever thought anybody would be able to arrest Jesus. Not with everything that he personally experienced Jesus do. And then to see the Roman guard slap him around and spit on him and rough him up and do all of these things. And Peter was there. You have to realize this. He was there when Jesus was baptized. He heard the voice. This is my beloved son in whom I'm well pleased. Very easy to see what's happening to Jesus and you think, I got baptized. I ain't hear no voice. I'm not healing people like Jesus is. I'm not the Christ, the Son of the living God. He is. And look what they're doing to him. So if they can do that to him, what are they going to do to me? No, I don't know him. No, I don't know him. Well, if it can happen to the disciples, it can happen to us. If we don't have a firm understanding as to who we are and what we have. Peter didn't. I mean, he got it later on, but he didn't then. The only way you can be sure that there's no doubt in your heart is for your heart to be filled with faith. Because when your heart is filled with faith, guess what there's no room for? Doubt. If your heart's not filled with faith, then there's room for doubt. And we don't want to be like Jell-O. You know, the commercial, there's always room for Jell-O. There's never room for any doubt. So we always have to be operating based on the fullness of our faith. That means our faith is operating at its highest capacity. It's operating out of all that's within us. Every ounce, every drop, every crumb of faith that we have is in operation, period. And every ounce, every drop, every crumb of whatever faith we have is enough. If you're operating in all that you have, it's enough. Remember what Jesus told his disciples. If you had faith the size of a mustard seed, you could say to the sycamine tree, go, it'll have to go. He said, and nothing will be impossible for you. Nothing. So we need to take our focus off. I believe we need to take our focus off of how much faith we think we have and just start operating in all, whatever amount you think you have, operate in all of it. Because the Bible says everything that you ask for in the fullness of faith, you shall receive. So if you're asking, you're operating in all that you have, no matter what you have, if you're using all of it, you're going to receive. Period. You're going to receive. And if you're not receiving, even though you're praying earnestly, you're not praying out of the fullness of your faith. Because I believe the scripture. And if the scripture says, everything that I pray for out of the fullness of faith I'll receive, that's what I believe. So if I'm not receiving it, I'm not praying out of the fullness of my faith. Someone asked me once at a picnic, I said, Pastor, can we ask you a question? Like, sure. So a group of parents were talking, and they said, we don't understand. We're looking at what's going on with our young people. And the Bible says, train up a child in the way they should go, and when they're not old, not depart from it. But our children are departing from it. So why is that? I said, what does the scripture say? It said, train up a child in the way he should go. Then something must be wrong with the training. It got very quiet when I said that. I'm like, the scripture is true. When you train up a child in the way they should go, when they're old, they will not depart from it. If they are departing from it, they will not train properly. Now, we may not want to accept it, but that's the way it is. It's all under our control. God, how am I supposed to train up this child? Do this, 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 this. Okay, child, this, 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 this. When they get old, they don't depart from it. God, what do I do about this situation in my body? Do this, this, this. Body, this, this, this. It can't depart from it. The principle never changes. The principle state, if it's not working for you, you need to go back to the word. Are you applying the word the way it's supposed to be applied? And if it's not working, the answer is no. Because if you did, it would work. Because the word always works. When it's spoken out of what? The fullness of your faith. So, see, two reasons why we don't always use our faith all the time is we don't think we have enough, or we think we're using enough. We try and gauge, as I said earlier, we try and gauge how much faith is required for any particular situation. God made it easy. Everything you pray for, pray out of the fullness of your faith. Everything you pray for, pray out of all the faith that you have, all the time. Then you'll start to see results. It's really that simple. But what you don't want to do is what it says in Colossians 2, verse 8 to 10 in the Living Bible. It says, don't let others spoil your faith and joy with their philosophies, their wrong and shallow answers built on men's thoughts and ideas instead of what Christ has said. Instead of. I mean, the Bible says, 1,000 shall fall at your right or your left hand and 10,000 on your right hand, but it shall not come nigh thee. Man said, limit your contact, wash your hands, do this, do that, do other, because if you get in close contact, you're going to catch the coronavirus. God said, it shall not come nigh thy dwelling. Now you have to decide if you're going to believe in their philosophies and their shallow answers built on men's thoughts and ideas instead of on what Christ has said. It goes on to say, for in Christ there is all of God in a human body. All of God in a human body. And we're in Christ. So we have all of God and Christ in a human body. We have the fullness of all, we have all the power of all members of the Godhead in our bodies. All the power of every member of the Godhead is in us. All of the time. Once we became new creatures in Christ, that's what happened. The Amplified Bible says, for in him, in Christ, the whole fullness of deity, the Godhead, continues to dwell in bodily form, giving complete expression of the divine nature. Complete expression. So ask it, what is the divine nature? What can a divine nature do? Anything. And we have the complete. Where am I at? That we have the complete expression of the divine nature. We have it. And you are in him, made full, and having come to fullness of life in Christ. We're filled with the Godhead, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and reach full spiritual stature. That's what we that's how we stand, with full spiritual stature. And all that's required is that when we speak out of that full spiritual stature. And things have to change. Why? Because it's like God speaking. And when God speaks, everything has to listen and obey. Circumstance can't say, yeah, I heard what God said, but I ain't doing it. Has no choice. So, well, why isn't obeying? Because we're not speaking out of the fullness of our faith. We're not speaking like we have the full stature of the Godhead living on the inside of us. All the time. We're not speaking like that. We're not acting like that. We're panicking. We're listening to men's thoughts and ideals and research. Why do I have to listen to someone who has researched what my father has done? Why do I need scientific proof that my father did it? Why do I need that? I don't. All I need is to believe that my father did it. Faith is all the evidence you need. And operate in the fullness of that. If my father did it, that's what I'm going to do. If my father said it, that's what I'm going to say. If my father said this will happen, this is what will happen. Well, what about this? What about it? Has nothing to do with what my father said. I'm going with what my father said. Period. Well, I don't know about that. You don't have to. I have to. And you may not know about it, but I sure do. And you keep watching, and you will also. That's how we're supposed to live. That's what the scripture means when it says the just shall live by faith. And not just by faith, the just shall live out of the fullness of their faith. Every single believer has faith. Every single believer has all the faith they'll ever need to do anything. But every single believer doesn't understand that they have to operate out of the fullness of their faith. And that's why every single believer is not operating like a believer. That's why we're not seeing things change. That's why we have these epidemics that discern the pandemics and storms and superstorms. All these things happen, and we keep talking about it instead of talking to it. We keep talking about it. Or sometimes we say the wrong thing out of the fullness of our faith. Turn out to the sea. And we get excited when it turns out to the sea, and we forget that there are cruise liners and other vessels and things out there in the sea. Why not pray that it dissipate? Be no more in Jesus' name. Because you're not going out to sea and upset that. Because going out to sea, it's going to tear. How's it going to get out there? It's inland. How's it going to get out to the sea? It's going to go through neighborhoods. So the neighborhoods that it tore up coming through, it's going to make even worse going back out because we're sending it back out. Dissipate in Jesus' name. It's that simple. And guess what? We've already proven over and over and over that we can change the direction because there are reports. Well, we don't understand what happened. All of a sudden, it made a turn. And it didn't destroy this community. It destroyed that one. We don't want it to destroy any community. It's like that. My son, they don't speed down the highway. They fly. And I said, "You guys are nuts. You got the kids in the car." He said, "Oh, it's okay. We have a radar deflector." I said, "What in the world is a radar deflector?" Well, if radar hits my car, it bounces it off and puts it on another car. It's legal in like 5 or 6 states, so I don't know why they sell it. I don't know why you can buy it. But that's what's doing. You could be doing the speed limit and you'll get pulled over for speeding because someone has a radar deflector. And that's what they use. See, we don't use our faith to deflect. Jesus didn't say, the Bible doesn't say the Son of Man was manifest to deflect the works of the devil. He said, "For this purpose was the Son of Man made manifest to destroy the works of the devil." So we need to be about destroying them. And faith, the fullness of our faith, brings the reality of the kingdom realm into existence. The fullness of our faith unlocks the great authority that the believer has. The fullness of faith assures us that everything that God said shall be done. Period. And since we're filled with the Godhead, all the power of the Godhead is already in you and available for use at your demand. So why don't I see it? You're not demanding it. No, but I prayed, but you didn't pray out of the fullness of your faith. Somewhere in you there's doubt. Now you have to take the time to get quiet and be honest with yourself and let the Holy Ghost show you where you're doubting, because he will show you. How do I know that? Because Jesus said he will guide you into all truth. And since the doubt in you is the truth, then he's going to guide you into it. But you have to let them. You have to let them. You can't say, well, that's what they said, and that's what always happens. I don't care what always happens. God's word is true. I saw something that to me was classic. And I never saw this particular account this way before. Would you go to John 5? And I'm in the Passion. Start at verse 1. Then Jesus returned to Jerusalem to observe one of the Jewish holy days. Inside the city near the sheep gate, there is a pool called in Aramaic the house of loving kindness. We know it as Bethesda. And the pool is surrounded by five covered porches. Hundreds of sick people were lying there on the porches, the paralyzed, the blind, and the crippled, all of them waiting for their healing. For an angel of God would periodically descend into the pool to stir the waters. Say, stir the waters. And the first one who stepped into the pool after the waters swirled would instantly be healed. Now, there was a man who had been disabled for 38 years, lying among the multitude of the sick. When Jesus saw him lying there, he knew that the man had been crippled for a long time. So Jesus said to him, "Do you truly long to be healed?" The sick man answered him, "Sir, there is no way I can get healed." So the Passion puts it, "There is no way I can get healed, for I have no one who will lower me into the water when the angel comes. As soon as I try to crawl to the edge of the pool, someone else jumps in ahead of me." Then Jesus said to him, "Stand up, pick up your sleeping mat, and you will walk." Immediately he stood up. He was healed. So he rolled up his mat and walked again. Now this miracle took place on the Jewish Sabbath. There's a lot of stuff going on here. There's a whole lot going on. First of all, you need to understand that this man was paralyzed, was crippled for 38 years. It doesn't say how long he was at the pool, but he had to be there for a while, because the Bible also doesn't say that someone brought him and dropped him off. Somehow, over whatever the time span was, this man had made it to the place where every time the water was troubled, one person got in there before he did. It didn't say a whole multitude of people were in there. So this guy made it from wherever he was to right at the precipice of his healing. He, on his own, because he believed that the angel was going to come and stir up the water. And he believed that the first one to get in the water would be healed. He believed that. So guess what he had? He had faith. He had faith enough to get from where he was right to almost where he needed to be. But he didn't have enough faith to go all the way. Why? Maybe it was at the 15th year or the 20th year or the 30th year. But at some point, he decided, this will never work. Every time I get ready to go in, somebody gets in before me. I don't have anyone to pick me up and put me in. He had faith. And he still had faith because he didn't start crawling back. He stayed there knowing year after year after year after year, the angel comes in. Now he's crippled. He's not blind and he's not deaf. He sees and hears what's going on. And he's trying to get, and he just can't get there. Didn't realize, well, wait a minute. Faith got me to this point. Faith will somehow get me in. But he didn't believe it. And when Jesus asked him, he said, there's no way I can be healed. Yeah. No.
Why did he keep going before?
Right. Wasn't operating in the fullness of faith. That's what the faith got him there from wherever he came from, because he was in this condition for 38 years. Even if it were to last 3 years that he was at the pool, every time you are right, you're right here, but you can't jump. You got to somehow get your way in. And every time you see the water stirring, and you're like, yes, let me go. Oops, someone else beat me. Next time, yes, let me go. Oops, someone else beat me. Yes, let me go. Oops, someone else beat me. But he stayed there. The man had faith, but he didn't know anything about the fullness of his faith. He didn't understand that the same faith that got him at that point would have gotten him in the pool had he used it. But he had already convinced himself that it wasn't going to happen. He convinced himself. It doesn't say people coming up and say, you're never going to get in there. Why don't you go home, old man? No, because everybody there was trying to do the same thing. But he was right there. He saw the angel go into the water. He saw the angel stir up the water. And he said, okay, let me get in. Someone beat him. And he got to the point where he said, telling Jesus, there's no way I can be healed. We do the same thing. We let circumstances come up. And even though the circumstance can't take us out, we're still there. We allow it to continue. And we think, well, and we say half of scripture, many of the afflictions of the righteous. What about the other part? What about what the Lord delivered them out of them all? Or we'll say many of the afflictions of the righteous, and, you know, God will take care of some of them. And the rest of them, well, his grace is sufficient for me. Yeah, his grace is sufficient for you. That's why it says in Galatians 6, around the 9th verse, don't be weary in well-doing. For in due season, you will reap if you faint not. What is fainting? Failure to operate in the fullness of your faith. You fainted. You use your faith to get right there. Right there. Sometimes, just like running a distance race, that sometimes the last few miles, That's when you wind up hitting the wall. You start out, you got 26, you're not thinking, I got 26 miles. You're just running. The thoughts start coming near the end. When your body is telling you, I just ran 20 miles and you want me to go further. Now you're thinking, I still got 6 miles to go. I still got 5 miles to go. I don't know. Oh man, I don't know how I'm going to make. I still got to get up to Central Park and run up that hill. Oh goodness, how am I going to do it? And next thing you know, you drop out. Or you slow down and say, well, let me just walk. You stop running. You talked yourself out of it. You no longer believed that you could do it, even though you were doing it. Peter, thank you, Lord. Peter had faith. He got out of the boat. He believed. Now, who did they think was walking on the water? When they saw someone on the water, what did they think it was? A ghost. And Peter's question was, Peter didn't say, Jesus, can I come? He said, if it be you, bid me to come. Well, if it was a ghost, you think the ghost would say, yo, I'm a ghost. Stay in the boat, buddy. Don't get out. No, the ghost is going to say, yeah, come on in. Because he wants you to drown. So Peter had to believe that it was Jesus answering him. So he got out of the boat. People say he didn't have faith. Yeah, I don't see you getting out of a boat in the middle of the water. He got out of the boat. He had faith. But when he started considering the circumstances, his faith was no longer full. He was no longer operating in the fullness of his faith. And what happened to him? He started to sink. He started to sink. See, I don't believe that it's because he took his eyes off Jesus. He was looking at the waves, and being a fisherman, he understands winds and waves and what that does. And he's looking at the boat, and the boat's not just sitting there like this. He's seeing the waves tab the boat doing all of this, and he's thinking, I'm not as big and heavy as this boat. And if it's going to do this to this boat, what am I doing out here on the water? And his faith took up wings. He's no longer operating in the fullness of his faith. Glub, glub, glub. He still knew it was Jesus because he called out. He said, help me. So he still knew Jesus was out there, but now that wasn't enough. But what was the premise of him getting out of the boat? That it was Jesus. And that was enough. He didn't say, Jesus, if it's you, bid me to come. Jesus said, come. He said, okay, now you're going to make sure that I stay on top of the water, right? I'm not going to get out of here and sink. He didn't ask any follow-up question. If it's you, bid me to come. It is I, come. And they saw him walk in the water. I wouldn't have been looking at Jesus. I'd have been moonwalking. I would have. I'd have been hopping on the wall. I wouldn't have been walking. I'd been jumping up and down. Like, yeah, this is good. I mean, that's just the way I am. I would have been me. Because if Jesus tells me walk on the water and I get down, I'm on the water. Hey. I wouldn't have been thinking about the waves. I'd have been enjoying my stroll on the water. Jesus would have had to say, Greg, cut it out and come over here. But Peter didn't do that. Peter, he became more concerned. Now think about this. Where was the water? Under his feet. And what was he doing to the water? Where is Satan? What are you supposed to do to him? Why aren't we walking on them? Because we're not doing it in the fullness of our faith. We're trying to do it based on, while we're watching him wreak havoc all around us. And we start thinking, wait a minute, if he's doing it to this person, and Lord, don't let a well-known minister go down for anything. Because they'll be saying, they took out him. My faith is nowhere near his. Who said it had to be? All it has to be is full. That's why I tell folks, and I'll probably say it again Sunday, stop being moved when you see flyers with people's faces on that bulletin board saying that they went home to be with the Lord. Stop wondering what happened to them. It ain't none of our business. It doesn't mean that that's going to happen to you. It doesn't mean that. Stop using those as a guideline. So God lifts his hand from the church. Oh, God did this, God did that. No. And if you believe that, support it with the word. You can't. Jesus said he came so we would have life and have it more abundantly. But if you're not operating in the fullness of your faith, that's why people don't go to the doctor. They say they're in faith. They're scared. They're afraid. He might find something. So, you want him to find it? Or do you want your body to just reveal it? You want him to find it when you have time? Or do you want to wait until you need a quick miracle? I mean, those are your choices. God allowed medical science to develop, to help people. The devil didn't create anything to help anybody. You have to use the same faith that you say you're standing on to not go, you need to use to go. The same faith. And if you operate in its fullness, when you speak, you'll have what you say. You'll have it. Everything you pray for out of the fullness of faith, you will receive. But we're going to have to do the same thing. Yeah, I can do it. You have to do the same thing that the angel did. When the angel came to the water, what did he do? Stirred it up. What does it tell us in Timothy? Stir up the gift of faith that's in you. In 2 Timothy 1, this is what we have to do. He said, when I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, Paul told Timothy, I'm calling you to remember you're filled with faith. 2 Timothy 1, starting in verse 5, is King James. Which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, and I'm persuaded that it's in you also. So you have a family history of faith. Wherefore I put thee in remembrance. I'm reminding you that you have faith so that you stir it up. Stir up the gift of God which is in thee by the putting on of my hands. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. So there is no reason why we should be operating in less than the fullness of our faith. Because we have the power, we have love, we have a sound mind. What we don't have is the only thing that can prevent us from operating in the fullness of our faith: fear. But if we stir up the gift that's in us, we stir up faith, we stir up power, we stir up love, we stir up sound mind, there won't be any room for doubt. And we will always operate out of the fullness of our faith. And that means when we speak, what we say will happen. I don't care what the diagnosis may be. Even if you didn't go to the doctor and you did wait till the last minute, the scripture doesn't say anything you pray for out of the fullness of your faith, you will receive unless you waited too long. It doesn't say that. You don't need to put yourself through that. And what I believe happens is people's faith get damaged because they never expect to be in that position. But even if you find yourself in that position for whatever reason, the word is still true. Anything you pray for out of the fullness of your faith, you will receive. Period. It's just a done deal. I mean, I don't know how else to say it. But you have to do the praying, and you have to be praying out of the fullness of your faith. Because if you're not praying out of fullness of your faith, the reverse of that is true. Then nothing you ask for will happen. As it says in the Passion Translation, listen to the truth. If you have no doubt of God's power and speak out of faith's fullness, you can be the ones who speak to a tree and it will wither away. Even more than that, you'll say to this mountain, be lifted up and be thrown in the sea and it will be done. And I'm adding, because everything you pray for with the fullness of faith, you will receive.